And if you're going to grow, if your business is going to grow, you've got to take risks. Like, and you're going to lose some. Like, and that's where you learn. You learn more from your failures and mistakes and your crashes than you learn from your successes, because that just means things worked right.
Welcome to the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you 3 simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the 3 Steps to Thrive podcast. My name is James Lamb. I am sadly your host. This is Mark Laurie, my dear friend and also master photographer. So in 3 Steps, every week we talk to interesting entrepreneurs and business owners about what makes them tick. And at the end, they always leave 3 simple, actionable, and practical steps for you to improve either yourself or your business. So a lot of learning in these shows, folks. Now, I have Mark Laurie here. Mark, say hi.
Hello there.
Mark is, and I'm going to ask you about this, but I'm going to read from the bio here. Mark is an MPA, an FSWPP, if you can figure out what that is, you're smarter than I am, an FPPOC, and a master photog, which I'm assuming is a master photographer. Yeah. So, for the last 42 years, Mark has created transformational photography adventures for 5,000 women in 16 countries, plus, and this is super cool, images in a time capsule. The impact
of his work... In outer space.
In outer space. So there you go. You've so to speak, your work is so good, it's in outer space, right? The impact of his work to his clients is so notable that the psychiatric department of the General Hospital did a study. I'm not sure where. We'll have to talk about that.
Yep.
The creativity of these images has earned Mark 4 International Photographer of the Year awards, plus the Canadian Photographer of the Year. So Mark clearly knows what he's doing. And it's interesting because your area of expertise is nude and boudoir images of women. And I know you do a bunch of other stuff too, but that is really where your niche is. And I know, folks, you can't see this, but let me paint this image for you. Mark is downstairs in the studio right now, and he is surrounded by images of beautiful women that he's actually taken. Right? So yep. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. So as a finale, Mark has had his own TV show, been a judge on a reality TV show, Judged, the Photographic World Cup, and more. His passion remains in the joy of helping women find stronger confidence, deeper body appreciation, higher self-esteem, and just to celebrate who they are. So a big welcome to Mark. I appreciate you being here. So I'm curious. The first question that pops in my mind. Look, I know you do transformational work, but my first question is, what is the highlight of your career? Is it having images in the time capsule in space, or is it being on a reality show?
The time capsule thing was back in the 80s, and the reality show's a little bit newer, so they're all they're uniquely different. I think the reality show was more fun. I started off as a guest, one of the contestants, and the next year they said, please come back and be a judge. And that was a riot doing that. It was right. Kind of over the top. That one was in Mexico. We've been in Bahamas and Mexico doing those things, which is cool.
That's so neat. Mark, did you win the first season you competed?
No, it was really cute. So the first years we were competing, I first arrived and there's a girl who's got has one camera, and the lens won't work. So she's flown all this way and the camera's broken and she can't do anything. No one can help her. And I said, let me help with that. So it took about an hour, got the whole thing working for her. So she goes on.
Beauty.
And then we're having at the very end of it for the Grammy, you've got to get your photographs in a flash drive within minutes, at 9:30. And she'd been told the Mac was the best to get. So she'd never worked in a Mac before, but she bought one.
Right.
And she couldn't get the files off. She'd been trying for like 3 hours. She comes down there. Everyone's like watching her and the guests can help her. I sit down. So what are you trying to do? She says, here to there. And I just brought them over. So she's a minute to spare. She gets in. So we're lining up and they're saying, okay, the first guy is going to do it. There's one other contestant I was really worried about because he was really good. But for some reason, decided to do all the Photoshop. Look, women have been beaten up, abused. They had like 20 photographs of bruises. I thought, well, glad you did something stupid. But so they said, in third place, leaving the contest is Brad Williams, and he stepped out. So it was me and this fashion photographer girl. And they said, and so she's looking at me because I've been working really hard at it. And all of a sudden he says, and in first place, taking the trophy is, and he says her name. Yeah. And your first response was, I think you made a mistake. And so I helped her, but she was great. She really worked it. And it was just but the contest they said was so tight that they're trying to judge it. And they kept on getting more judges to break the tie. And eventually it came down to the girl who was, came in, liked her scarf. So it was a fun thing, but it was exciting. It was a lot of fun.
I'm sure it was. Tell me a little bit. So there's a lot, and you gave me this three paragraph bio, right? And I know you've done a lot, Mark. So tell me a little bit about the work, how you talk about, and there's this last line. I'm going to repeat it for the listeners. It says, his, as in Mark, Mark's passion remains in the joy of helping women find stronger confidence, deeper body appreciation, higher self-esteem, and just to celebrate who they are. Tell me a little bit about that line. Tell me what you do and how photography can transform people's lives.
You know, that's the part where I guess I'm different. Most photographers are doing this. We started doing it. When I started doing this, it didn't exist. We didn't even have a name for it back in the 80s, or 70s, I guess. So what happens with us is we've created this formula process, I guess, over the last 40 years that is more about the transformation than the photography. You know, the photography is really good and has to be powerful and so on. But we'll take people in and they're sort of self-identifying now. Like we have a client who just booked in and she said, look, I'm here for self-esteem. I'm 50 years old. My husband has just announced he's been fooling around on me and I'm kind of crushed and I want to get my sense of beauty back and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm here for you for that. And so we find women come to us are here more about transformation. They want nice photographs. They see that's where the power is. So it's a bit like walking on coals, hot coals, which I've done, in terms of it's not so much a stroll, it's the power of walking on top of them. So I will see them come in. As a good example, I think one of the more dramatic ones we had was a girl who came in who was, I booked her photo shoot at the recommendation of a friend for her 15th wedding anniversary. It was for a Sunday photo shoot. On Saturday night, she comes home. He's packing his bags. He's found his soulmate in the shape of his 20-year-old secretary.
Goodness, yeah.
And she's crushed. Her girlfriends go there anyway. So she comes in. Makeup took like 2 hours because she was crying a lot. Yeah. And so she was really a crushed woman. She was just this lost soul, right?
Yes.
And in the course of the four-hour photo shoot, we're building sets. She's doing nude. She's doing lingerie. We're doing cool, funky stuff. She's seen the back of the camera. By the time we were done, the tears were gone. She had this complete stature about her that was strong. And then she left in this powerful stage. He called back about 3 months later saying, you know, this woman isn't working back. I'll come back. And she says, actually, no, your side of the bed's been occupied. I've got dates coming in.
Yes.
And her life completely changed. We've had 30 photo sessions result in marriages, which is kind of cool. One was kind of fun. This girl had been married for a while, and she said, I love to be married, but my husband's never thought of it. I don't want to pressure him. I said, well, just tell him the book's only for husbands. It's a studio policy. And she said, that's silly, but she did anyway. So he says, can I see the book? And she goes, no, it's studio policy. I had to sign forms. Only husbands can see it. So about a week later, he comes back. He says, so I made arrangements. I've talked to the priest. In 6 months, we can get married. What do you think? And she goes, I'm in. Can I see the book now? She goes, no, we're only engaged. When we get married, you can see the book. So it's okay. So he comes back with a week later and he says, listen, I talked to the priest again. There's an opening 1 month from now. Our friends can make it. Hall's booked. Are you up for that? She says, yes. And then I can see the book. we do have some powerful stories. It's we had one girl that came in who was so shy. She was almost incoherent. And we finished the photo shoot. She almost walked out of the studio nude. She just had her heels on.
Amazing.
She was just so excited.
Tell me about... So you know, what you do is powerful work, and I want people to understand this. So I want to dig in a little bit more into this this topic. Mm-hmm. So let's take, I know you have different people that come in at different stages of life, but let's take something that I think we can all relate to, which is just having a bad day. I mean, you talked about the person whose husband left her the day before the photo shoot, and this is just awful stuff, right? You kind of, your world is crushed. And we've all had, if you've ever lived and you've ever tried stuff, you will know this, especially since this show is about business owners and entrepreneurs, and you're going to get those moments where it sucks. But tell me about, so they come in, their world is terrible, everything has fallen apart, they don't know you very well. Mm-hmm. And you're basically here and you're basically saying, okay, we're going to do a photo shoot over the next few hours, we have to do hair and makeup, you have to take off your clothes. da, da, da. When do you start seeing confidence light up? When do you start seeing them transform? I guess is it when they get their images, or is it when they start doing makeup, or where does that start and how does that look?
So it starts at the planning stage. So before the process, we call it the heartbeat. So the first time they'll phone in and they're really nervous about us and they come to meet me. So that's a standard thing. It's not a cold call to come in. And they get to know me and I get to know what their concerns are, where they're kind of going from. They get comfortable in the work. And so they come in scared and they leave going, this is going to work. It's going to be great. And then after a while they come back, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And my wife Jan's the warm-up act. So she does the hair and the makeup. And yeah. So, and she does it with nice light touches. They don't look like they're a clown by the time she's done. I have a very light touch to my lighting. And so we can see the people going, I think I can do this on the couch when we're talking to them. Like they can see the first inkling. They're still kind of nervous and scared, but they've got the first sense of, okay, he knows what he's doing. I'm comfortable with him. This is going to be great.
Right.
Then Jan does the hair makeup and it's out in the studio. So, and Stu has got a heated floor and she can see all the props and the sets. And we're the only studio in town that's got this amount of props and setting and a heated floor and so on. And she can see me building the sets and she starts to become part of the environment. She's becoming quite comfortable with it and she's getting the makeup and Jan's very good at that. So that's the first stage. So by the time she gets, we've had a girl who arrived the first time and she was a little spitfire. And yes. She was used to stand up to a crowd of like 30 or 40 millionaires and saying, your $1 million investment just tanked, ain't coming back. Here's something else you can lose your money on. And yes. She was incoherent. She was lost, which right. She wants to do this. By the time the makeup is done, she's pretty good. And usually by the time we get to about 15, 20 minutes into the session, they're, to their surprise, they're doing nudes.
Right.
And some of them aren't even aware of it. Like the one girl, we're into like 45 minutes and she says, how did I get naked? Like, so you close off. No, not really. My boyfriend doesn't see it this way. Like this is, there's, you know, and so they become so comfortable so quickly. And it's a process that we build. So there's little cute things we kind of work with that, that get them into themselves. At the back of the camera works really well. We had one client that came in and she looks there and she's a heavier girl. And she said, so this is cool. So what you've done is you photograph somebody else that looks better than me, but like me. And then your camera puts my head on their body. Is that right? No, that's not Star Trek.
Yes.
And we craft the lighting. So they see us fuss with them. We're set the lights up. We're constantly adjusting lights, constantly changing cameras angle, letting them see at the back of the cameras. So they see that this isn't a cookie cutter arrangement. This is right. Tailored, the sets, the lighting, and it really becomes them. And then they get an influence in it, which it's not just me taking pictures.
Yes.
It's them saying, well, we're partners in this. I like this. What can you do with my boots? That kind of thing.
Right.
And so it evolves questions, conversations. I talk an awful lot. I tell a lot of stories. So okay. They can see themselves in the stories, which are really powerful. I think anybody who's in business knows that you can't, rather than tell somebody something, you say, well, you know, I appreciate that. Here's what somebody else did. Here's my experience. And I also get vulnerable as well. I talk about the things, the failures I've had and the challenges I've had, which makes, right. Just takes me off a big, you know, pedestal and go, oh yeah, right. You're like us. Like, you know, we can be comfortable here.
How important do you think is the nudity aspect? Is it, and why?
Okay, so the nudity is really important because it's the boldest thing to do. So if a person comes in and said, Ray, I'm looking for a fashion shoot or a straight portrait personality, it's not that risky like in the mind. So right. This is where the mind breaks a barrier. So if you've done something really outrageous and survived, your brain goes, okay, we thought that was scary, but it wasn't, and it came out well. So when you see a next scary thing, you go, oh, this is really cool. So, for example, we walked on fire, and the first time we walk up to it, and there's like 40 feet of hot coals. And I'm expecting the guy to give me hints and say, just walk and just don't slow down. And, yeah. And it's so much different than walking on a dangerous path. Like, this is the ultimate of it. So when a client comes in, a woman comes in, and she goes through that, a couple things happen. One is she goes through it and discovers it's safe, discovers she looks good, that she can be vulnerable. When she tells friends that she's done this, it gets reinforced that you're really bold, because they'll go, oh, I couldn't do that. How'd you find the nerve to do that? So the outside influences also support her. And then whenever she's feeling a bit down, like the day's not going well, she's looking for a confidence hit, she'll pull the book out or look at the photograph on the wall and go, yeah, I did that. I look amazing.
Right.
And this is who I am. Not who I am in this moment. This person is who I am.
Right.
And it anchors. So every time you do something really powerful that changes your body, then your mind, then what happens is anything going around that locks in as well.
Yes. So
it's pretty good that way.
Okay. So
it's pretty powerful.
That's amazing stuff. When did you first discover this power?
The power of the story was really cool. It was way back in the late 70s when I did one of my first photo shoots. And we had a client that came in and we spent hours building the sets and doing the photographs and planning the session and so on. And it was really satisfying and she got a lot out of it. Then the other girl that came in after her, we couldn't quite get together. One day she just showed up and said, "Here, I'm here for photographs." And we took like 10 shots and they were really hard to do because we didn't have any chemistry. We didn't,
right.
Nothing there. And so I discovered that we need to build a flow to make that happen. And
right.
So we pretty much out of the gate, this is what I was doing. It was start off as a hobby. And at one point, my wife, Jan, says, I was in real estate and doing really quite well. And Jan was saying, "Look, you really like this." And the woman seemed to respond to it quite well. Remember, back then, nobody else was doing this. The closest you could come to it was a photographer would say, "Gee, we do discreet black and white figure studies on Sundays, closed doors," kind of thing. And I'd say, "We're doing nudes." And the way we went with it. So that was the start. And it became really clear as we started to see the reactions of people and building it up that we were into something pretty powerful and effective.
Right. That's amazing, Mark. I'm going to put you on the spot, and I hope you can draw an analogy here. You know, this podcast is full of business owners and listeners, right? So not everybody is going to run out and contact you, although I wish they were, because it sounds like an amazing transformation.
Yeah.
But tell me the equivalent of what that would look like for a lot of people, maybe not on so grand a scale, mm-hmm. but you're talking about overcoming barriers. You're talking about doing something you never thought you could do. So what would that be for a business owner who's looking for transformation, like who's looking to, so to speak, take off their everyday work clothes and start building something where they themselves can believe in themselves? Because let's face it, you know, subconscious is so powerful. Mm-hmm. The ability to believe in yourself is so powerful, and everybody gets down at some point in time. And if you haven't been there, it's because, well, we all have self-limiting beliefs, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest for somebody maybe, I'll leave the floor to you.
Well, the first thing, I guess there's two key things you have to look for. One is you want to do something that really scares you. And you want to do it with people who are going to guide you through it. Simply going to, like, for example, one of the things that I've done over the years is we had a course designed to do breakthroughs. We had an 8-foot rebar. And we put it in the soft part in your throat here. And the other person did. Then we ran together.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's really scary.
rebar. Yeah. What's that?
Sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen. But
no, there was like 300 of us doing it, and the rebar bent, and it was exhilarating because it's kind of terrifying, and we've done several things like that. But we're there with the person who knows how to set it up properly.
Yes.
So even though it's scary, we know that there's guidance, and we're not going to screw up. Whereas if I did that on my own, I'd probably wind up impaled.
Yes.
And so you want to find a course, someone that's going to go, "Okay, so this is scary." Like you're going to say, swim the channel, skydive, jump, bungee jump, something that's really out of your comfort zone. But you want to have someone that's been there before and says, "Okay, so this is how this is going to work." And so your chances of failing, because you know, going out of your comfort zone and failing is it can be damaging. We love that stake for. The other thing is a perspective is as a business person, if you haven't failed, if you haven't gotten really scared, then you're not really pushing your possibilities.
Yes.
And failure is only failure if you don't get up. If you fall down, and I'm so accustomed to screwing up right now, it's more of a state of being than not. And you just get back up. And after a while, your brain goes, "This is a process."
Yes.
Like there's a poem I live by. There's two of them actually, and one is, "Come to the edge," you said. "No, we're afraid," they said. "Come to the edge," he demanded, and so they did. To their horror, he pushed them over the edge. They're surprised they could fly. And the second one is that you don't step over the edge into darkness unless you believe you can either fly or there's something solid on the other side. Like you need that internal belief that it's going to be okay no matter what the risk is.
Yes.
And if you're going to grow, if your business is going to grow, you've got to take risks. Like and you're going to lose some. Like and that's where you learn. You learn more from your failures and mistakes and your crashes, then you learn from your successes. Cause that just means things worked right.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact quote. Someone was saying, the one thing you want to do in business is fail big, fail fast. Right.
Yeah.
you know, every failure is a step towards your success.
Yeah.
You were going to say something?
Yeah, one of the beauty things about failure is it starts to take out your ego.
Yes.
Like, if you've had nothing but successes, that means you've never risked anything, because if you're not really risking, then you have no chance of failing because you're in your safety zone. But when you risk and you think you're really something hot and you fail, you're a bit more humbler.
Yeah.
And you also relate to people who are also struggling a bit more because you've been beat up a bit, you know, and you understand what it takes to get up and go again. And that's a deep character bit.
Tell me about, I'm going to ask you about that actually. Tell me about the biggest failure. How do I phrase this? Tell me about one of the biggest failures that you've had and what you learned from it.
We've had so many. I guess one of the ones that really kind of there's one that was funny. So way back over my career, starting to speak, and I was a young kid. I was in my 20s and really kind of cocky. And I started my studio, actually, my studio's outside. No, this was my studio down here at White Walls, and I built my stuff up here. I've been winning awards. And so some guys in BC hired me to teach them how to do nudes. So I arrive, this 20-year-old young kid that's just feeling pretty hopeful. And I walk in, and I arrange the model, and they were surprised I was able to talk her, get her comfortably nudes. And so I take my first Polaroid shot. This is the back of the days before digital came along. Right now, in the room, I'm the youngest guy in the room. The only guy without a storefront studio, the only guy who had not been to school to get his craft done.
Right.
And they're paying me a lot of money per person for me to tell them what I do. The one thing I did that sort of saved my bacon was I said, I've got knowledge in these areas, but if you go over too far, I'm a complete idiot.
Yeah.
So if I hit one of those areas, you'll have to help me. And really not expecting that to happen. I was just, you know, being nice.
Yeah.
And now my studio is pretty small here back in those days. It's a 7-foot ceiling, and it's like 11 feet wide, white walls. His was a reshaped garage. So there's 20-foot ceilings and like 40-foot in every direction. Now, what that means is there's no place to light, I didn't know this, to bounce off,
Bounce
off in the shadows, okay?
Yes.
So I set my light up the way I'd normally do it. I took my first Polaroid, and I'd never seen a photograph like it in my life. I'm looking at this thing going, what the hell? This is, I can't teach this. I have no idea what I'm looking at. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm spending, like, I don't know how much time went by, but there's this coughing in the side of me say, so something wrong, Mark? I'm looking at this and going, oh, shit, I can't. My whole, what is this? It was like a light bulb.
Yeah.
And I said, remember I told you about the dumb areas? I said, this is what's happened. And the guys, they come to, oh, well, describe your studio to us. And so I describe, this time I feel like an idiot. Like, I paid all this money, first shot, and I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So they took foam core and they recreated my studio. I took a second shot. Oh yeah, it's back. This is good. I mean, the world was falling down on me at that point. Like, I'm looking at this going, oh my God, they pay all this money and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that was pretty big. Other things that happened was in the middle of a busy photo shoot, my camera fell off the tripod and smashed on the floor.
Oh no.
And we had another one where it drowned again, the tripod collapsed and it kind of fell in the lake. And I was okay, I'm drying this thing in the heater of the car because I'm thinking, wasn't sure if insurance covered stupidity, but I was pretty sure that it didn't. So I've got the heater going to try and drown my camera, because right now the only person who's going to recover that I can see money in the future is my client right now.
Yes.
So I was trying to, and that's when you discover when things go horribly wrong, then you discover what you're made of, I guess. Like, do you simply fold and pack your tent up? You go, okay, so let's adapt because this has got to work somehow. And I remember this was a turning point for me. It was really big. I'd left the real estate and I was doing the photography. And we'd had a month. At this point, I'm like the main breadwinner, you might say. Oh, Jan was bringing some income in. And we had a really bad month. And we had clients that weren't buying much. And this one client came in, and her gift for her husband wasn't to buy prints. It was to show him the slideshow. And so she didn't buy anything.
Okay.
And we're walking up the hall, and I'm kind of going like, you cannot make a living when people don't buy stuff. And I'm driving down, and this was in July, and it's so common. I'm driving down McLeod Trail, which is, for those don't know, it's a main street here in town. And there's a couple of these set of lights, and it's a red light, and I stop. And I'm trying to think, what am I going to do? Like, I got to, you know, bring in money. And my brain goes, you have to make this work. There's nothing else you can do. Like this is your thing. Like you've got to figure out how to make this work because there's nothing else for you. And that was a resolve thing. And the next month we started making Love Me Again, and it kind of grew on from there. But it was a devastating month because you're at the end of it and there's bills to be paid and nobody bought anything, or they bought so little it didn't really count. And then from there, you've got to, rather than say, well, that didn't work out, let's go someplace else. It was like, okay, that really didn't work out. How do I make it work out? I've got to find a path. And keep in mind, at that point in time, there's nothing like, there's no internet, there's no books, there's very few instructors, and none of them were teaching nude photography. Yes. And none of them were teaching business of photography. Like so all those resources that people are almost overwhelmed with today did not exist back in 1978.
It's interesting, right? Because I think a lot of business owners get this sometimes, is the hardest sale you will ever make is always going to be the first one. That first one is so difficult, right? Yeah. And then afterwards, your confidence builds, your subconscious helps you because you understand what's going on, and it becomes much easier. But that first one is just brutal. Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question, and then we're going to get to your three tips, okay?
Okay.
Tell us in a nutshell, and this is the big one, why do you love what you do?
It's watching the transformation. Like, women will come in, and it's hard to describe, but there's a split second there where I almost see their soul. Like, they come in and I get them. And in a way that they don't quite get themselves, apparently, is what I've been told.
Right.
And watching, as we go through the photography, each session is so different, watching them change, and it's like a flower emerging. And it's just levitating for me. You know, everything's different, and I just see them step into themselves. Like, they become bigger and bolder in the course of 4 hours. And that is massively satisfying. Like, it's so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. Good for you. And congratulations on all your success as well.
Thank you. Really
had a very well-deserved and amazing career, which is part of the reason why we're having this pleasant conversation. For those folks out there listening, give me your three tips of wisdom that you have.
Okay.
And again, folks, just a reminder, these are, every time we do the show, with three simple, actionable, and practical tips from the entrepreneur or the business owner to improve you, the business owner, or to improve the business. Go ahead, Mark.
So first thing you have to protect is your confidence. Without confidence in yourself, what you're doing, you're going to fail. It's really hard. So if you start to feel kind of shaken or something's going wrong, step back, find your space of confidence, and build on it from there. And then you'll be able to go forward. The second thing is listen. You want to listen to your clients. What do they want? So that you're actually delivering what's wanted, not what you think is going to be. Listen to your staff, that you bring a culture that's going to work in your mind. So listening is really important. It's so critical to pay attention to what people are saying to you. And the last thing is to practice. Doesn't matter what your job is, what your skill set is, you have to practice it so you're good at it. It's what you do in the dark that makes a difference when you get into the light. And it doesn't matter what business you're in, what you do, those things, you have to know your craft, your business, and you have to know what people are saying so you can respond to them, and you have to have confidence that you can meet that and deliver.
Okay, awesome. So there's confidence, listen to people, and practice. And by the way, folks, I just like to point out, these are amazing tips. Something, and I think a lot of you will have read this or find it somewhere, but all three of these are part of a mindset, right? All three of these are part of having a growth mindset. So if, you know, confidence isn't always being right. Confidence isn't always, I have all the answers. Because a lot of the times, what Mark is saying is the other two, listen and practice, that means you don't have all the answers. But confidence, I think you're talking about, Mark, is belief in yourself, yes?
It is, yeah. When you have confidence, you'll come across a problem. And if you have confidence, it's a molehill. You just step over it. If your confidence is weak, it's a mountain.
Yeah.
But it's the same problem. It's just your perspective changes because of where you are internally.
Yeah, amazing, right? Amazing stuff. All right, Mark, look, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Can you give us any final thoughts that you have? And maybe tell us, if people are interested in learning more about you, the easiest way for them to do that.
The easiest way to reach us is by phone, 403-252-2662. Our website, innerspiritphoto.com, that will get you all the connection pieces to come back into us. We're on Facebook. Just search for Mark Laurie or Inner Spirit Photo. You'll find us. And on Instagram, same thing. Search for Inner Spirit Photo, and there will be.
Okay. What's it? What's a phone? How are people supposed to contact you, Mark?
I'm old school. We've got a wireless thing here as well. We also have a landline. We're still solid. no rotary dial though.
Any final thoughts for our listeners? Any final nuggets of wisdom that you can give us?
Take risks. And there's a new phrase that they're called pivoting. The world's constantly changing. You got to change with it. So if your industry, if you aren't changing, you will disappear. And so if you standing still is a risk as well, but standing still is also an action. It's a failure. And so you want to grow and adapt. You can't stand still.
Okay. Awesome. It's interesting because when I write down a series of questions before we start the, our listeners probably do know this anyways, but I write down a series of questions based on the bio that somebody gives me. And sometimes I use them more, sometimes I use them less. I think I've used one of the questions that I wrote down and then the rest has flowed. But I think there's a common theme in what Mark is talking about, which is taking risks. And when you take risks, you never know what's on the other side. Your confidence may build. You may uncover something that you never knew you had. So that's amazing, Mark. So thank you for sharing that with us today. Folks, that was Mark Laurie. Amazing photographer, Canadian photographer of the year. It's always been a pleasure. Tune in to us next week for more interesting entrepreneurs and their three steps to thrive. And don't forget, team, if you enjoyed this podcast, please, please, please rate and review and subscribe by reviewing it and rating it. That is the easiest way to get these tidbits and these nuggets of wisdom out to more people. Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Say goodbye.
Good to be there.
Thank you very much, Mark. You want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us as well, team. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you or hearing, I guess, speaking to you same place, same time next week. Bye for now.
Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week and have a great few days.